Well, hello there, and welcome to True Crime Bones with me, your host, Marissa, also known as Bones, obviously. So, I've decided to do something different in today's episode. For those who do not know, I use Instagram as a platform to share true crime stories surrounding South Africa. And I've decided, instead of posting a six-part segment regarding a certain case on Instagram today, I would rather do a mini podcast episode on it. So for today's episode, I'll be talking about a Facebook post that led to the arrest of a suspect 6 years after the murder. Okay, so before I get into today's episode, I would just like to acknowledge something, and that is the fact that yes, I do have an accent. And if you haven't noticed it by now, don't worry. I won't hold it against you, because I mean, my accent, it's barely noticeable. But just in case, I am from South Africa. Obviously, my home language is Afrikaans and English is second, meaning I basically never speak English at home, except for on my posts. That's about as far as my English goes. So there will be in the future a few differences, I might say, regarding tenses. So please don't hold that against me. I apologize beforehand, because yes, my English, I speak it very deliciously. So bear that in mind as we go ahead. On the 6th anniversary of the brutal rape and murder of British national Christine Robinson in Limpopo, South Africa, a Facebook post appealing for the public's assistance to help find her suspect's killer led to his arrest. In 2002, the Liverpool-born Christine Robinson, a 59-year-old retired teacher, and her husband, a Belfast-born Daniel Robinson, a retired mechanic, bought a 125-acre game lodge near Tapazimbi in the foothills of the Waterberg mountain range in Limpopo, South Africa. And they turned it into a thriving business opposite a Big Five game reserve. Together, they ran the lodge called Gradi Tau Lodge, which means Father of Lions in Tswana. Until 2012, when her husband Daniel Robinson, nicknamed Robbie, sadly passed away from cancer, which led to Christine running the lodge on her own up until the 30th of July 2014, when she was murdered. Christine was attacked and ultimately murdered on July the 30th, 2014, not long after she came back to the lodge after she went out and drew out a big sum of money in order to pay her staff members who have been working at the lodge. Christine was attacked by a member of her own staff, Andrew Dlovu, who was the trusted gardener at the lodge for over 2 years. After the attack, Andrew Dlovu, then 24, had vanished, and it was thought to have slipped back over the border to his native country, Zimbabwe, before later on returning back to South Africa. Police reports at the time said that she put up a huge struggle for her life against her attacker, who raped her and then tried to strangle her before ultimately stabbing her to death in her bedroom. Christine's body was found the following morning, semi-naked, wrapped in a blood-soaked duvet, after worried staff members broke down her locked bedroom door after they didn't get any response from her. Christine was repeatedly stabbed and her throat was slit. It was also found that she had defensive wounds to her arms and hands, indicating that she fought for her life. And the fact that her room was found in a chaotic state, with the furniture all over the place, showed that she really fought for her life. Robinson's niece, a 49-year-old, Lehane, and I'm sorry, I'm most probably going to mispronounce the surname, so I'm sorry. Lehane Sergison. Let's put it with Sergison. Lehane Sergison, who lives in London, with the help of South African independent crime expert Ian Cameron, Lehane started doing her own investigation. And not even the fact that she's over 10,000 kilometers away stopped her or made her want to give up. Because she's been waiting for years now. And to her, it felt like the British police and the South African police have done nothing. So Lehane started with first setting up a fake Facebook identity. Something most of us have done before. Or in some cases, some people have done way too much and clearly need to stop. But anyway, on her fake profile, she pretended or posed as a pretty South African air hostess. And she used Glovu's old Facebook page to look at his friends and start sending friend requests to them to get closer to him. I don't know about you guys, but usually, okay, to those who still use Facebook, if you get a friend request, first thing is how many friends you have mutual, and then try and remember, do I know this person or not? So she started with getting close to his friends. Up until in 2019, she discovered he was using a Facebook alibi. So just like her, he was using a fake Facebook profile as well. But luckily she discovered that, and she traced it and found he was using a dating site. And using a fake identity, she told him he was hot. And over time, befriended him. So after a while, you know, chatting it up, she arranged a date with him in Johannesburg, South Africa, where he lived, giving detectives a fortnight to prepare a plan, telling him that she was on a long haul and would not be back till then. Just in case, a fortnight, for those who do not know, is 2 weeks. Reason I'm explaining this, because I remember years back when I heard someone say fortnight, I was like, I know the game, I just don't know the 2 weeks part. The South African police to try and set up a sting operation to meet him, telling them they can even use a police woman to pose as her. But due to red tape and inaction, the opportunity was lost. So even with the fact that she told the police they've got like 2 weeks to set this whole thing up where she is supposed to meet him. I mean, what more did they want? She was just missing the silver platter to hand him over. But anyway, all of that, yeah, it was a waste. So Lehane contacted the South African police to try and set up a sting operation to meet him, even saying that they should use a police woman to pose as her. But due to red tape and inaction, the opportunity was lost. So basically, Lehane gave the police a 2 week notice where they had the chance to get everything ready, because she arranged to meet with him. I mean, she did basically everything except hand Andrew over on a silver platter. That's all. But anyway, her efforts were wasted. Target got spooked and disappeared. Obviously, Glover would. But luckily, thanks to her great detective work, she rediscovered him in February of this year. When he posted a picture of himself on his fake Facebook page on his birthday. And that's when she became tracking him. But Ndlovu had become wary of her and would not respond to her messages. I mean, okay, so it makes sense. Obviously, after the first time they would have met up, nothing happened. Obviously, she didn't show up as he lives in Johannesburg and she is in a different country. But she tried. When she saw, okay, he did not respond to her messages, she kept on tracking him and decided, you know what, time to try something else. So that's when, on the 6th anniversary of her aunt's death, Leanne posted a picture of him on Facebook. She asked the people of South Africa to look at this Facebook photo and help her find Andrew Glover. On the post, with a picture of Andrew Glover, Leanne said, 6 years ago today, this man raped and murdered my aunt, Christine Robertson. Andrew Glover is still a free man and enjoying his life after taking his. That's when Ian Cameron, who visited the scene a few days after the murder and usually spoke to Leanne around the anniversary of her aunt's death, said that this year, on July 30th, he called her in London and asked for any recent information and pictures she had on the case. Because he wanted to get more clarity on the case and to apply more pressure for the crime to be resolved. And he also reposted Leanne's appeal on Facebook and on Twitter. Interpol didn't do much. The South African police services on the ground at the time of the investigation were fantastic. But after that, the case just died. The British government also seemed not to have done much, said Cameron. 6 hours after the picture was posted, Cameron received a tip-off and contacted the original investigation police officer, who is now retired Colonel Saki Lawrence. A few hours later, someone contacted me and said, please call me. I know where this man is. I then followed up the lead, and true as Bob, it was him. And when we went and we arrested him, Cameron said. After only 2 hours of the original Facebook post, Cameron and the South African Police Service had raided the suspect's house and arrested him. Glover was handcuffed at his home in Brixton, Johannesburg, South Africa, in the grounds of his employer, and was transported by police back to Thabazimbi, Limpopo, South Africa, where the crime happened and where he appeared in court the following day. The police squad also included the original investigating officer, Colonel Saki Lawrence, who even though he was retired, vowed back then to bring Christine's killer to justice. Ian Cameron, who's also part of AfriForum, said, 6 years ago, I attended the murder scene as part of my job to help raise awareness of what is happening with regard to farm and game lodge attacks. It was a very brutal murder, and now to be part of the arrest of the prime suspect was very special, and I am pleased for Leanne, and now justice must be seen to play its part. Cameron believes that while the case is still ongoing, the family now can feel that some sort of form of justice has started to be served. You can imagine waiting day after day, year after year, and not getting any form of positive feedback. An impact that might have on you," he said. Lianei said she never thought that the day of the killer's arrest would come. "All the emotions came back like the day I found out Christine was murdered. I'm still apprehensive. There's still a long way to go," she said after her aunt died. She read a quote by Louis McMaster, and I'm going to mispronounce this surname, so my bad. I think it's Bujold, yeah. Louis McMaster Bujold. Anyway, the quote read, "The dead cannot cry out for the justice. It is a duty of the living to do so for them," which motivated her to seek justice. "I believe in this, and I felt I had to do everything I could to try to get justice," she said. Lianei also said she loved Robertson dearly and described her aunt as a kind, humble, and genuine woman who always saw the good in people. She was an adventurer, but also a widow of 59. She was loved by many people all over the world. Teaching was in her DNA, yet someone abused her dignity, attacked her, and stole her future. There will never be closure. His arrest will not erase what has happened or bring back Christine. And he is guilty. He should pay for his crimes. His future lies with the justice system. I cannot influence the outcome. I can only hope that justice prevails, said Lianei. Her advice to others who are still seeking justice is, never give up hope. People always let their guard down. Always fight. We have an obligation, as per Bujold's quote. She also thanked Cameron, among others, for all that he had done and would forever be in debt to him. She described the person who alerted them to Ndlovu's whereabouts as a brave and credited to South Africa. Limpopo National Prosecution Authority spokesperson Mashudu confirmed that Ndlovu had been arrested in Brixton, Johannesburg, on suspicion of murder. Maladi said Ndlovu made his first court appearance on July 30, 2020, and was scheduled to appear last Thursday, which was on the 13th of August 2020, for a bail hearing. Through his defense legal aid, the accused abandoned bail. So the case was adjourned to October 2020 for further investigation. And until then, Ndlovu will stay in custody. So this was the first ever episode of True Crime Bones. And I know it's a bit rough, and I'm sorry, I'm still very new at this, and I promise as it goes on, it will get better, don't worry. And because this is still was a quick mini episode covering a case that I was going to post on my page, True Crime Bones, it's not a full in detail case like the one I'm working on and will be recording in the future, and hopefully the second episode of True Crime Bones. And don't worry, it will be extremely detailed and hopefully quality won't be as rough as this one. Like I said, I'm sorry, I promise I'm getting better. Second thing, I would just like to let everyone know, just in case you don't know, or give you an idea of what the future holds for this podcast. I will be focusing on crimes only based in South Africa or regarding South Africa. I will do serial killers, cases of murder that have been covered all over the news, you know, popular South African murder trials. And then the occasional updates and mini podcast episodes like the one today, where I focus on stories I've posted on my Instagram page or will be posting on my page. So yes, that's it. And I don't know what else to say. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for listening. And remember, South Africa is a country where crime never sleeps.